Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Moorish Light, shining light on the confusion, the basic facts, the ultimate goal of the Moorish movement, and love
and understanding.
First, we give praises to Allah. Honor to the last prophet in these days and times, Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and the first, second, and third form. We give honor to the pioneers of the Moorish movement, old and new. I'd like to give a special honor to my teacher, Grand Sheik Richardson Dingle Eel.
And honor to my teacher, Grand Sheik Timothy Dingle Eel, presently under State Grand Sheik Ronald Thorne Eel and Supreme Grand Sheik Clarence Praker Eel. We will not dispute charters. Who is the Supreme Grand Sheik? Our goal is to establish a basic foundation for the Moorish movement and love and understanding.
You may call 718-766-4929. Today we will be focusing on the Moorish youth and we're going to read from the Circle 7. Holy instructions for thy children. Consider, thou art a parent, the importance of thy trust. The being thou hast produced, it is thy duty to support. Upon thee also it dependeth whether the child of thy bosom be a blessing or a curse to thyself, and useful or worthless member to the community. Prepare him early with instruction, season his mind with the maximums of truth. Watch the bent of his inclination. Set him right in his youth and let no evil habit gain strength with his years. So shall he rise like a cedar on a mountain. His head shall be seen above the trees of the frost. A wicked son is a reproach to his father, but he that doeth right is an honor to his gray hairs. The soil is thy own, let it not want cultivation. The seed which thou sowest, that also shall thou reap. Teach him obedience, and he shall bless thee. Teach him modesty, and he shall not be ashamed. Teach him, and I'll say her, since I neglected that. Teach him or her temperance, and he or she will have wealth. Teach him prudence, and fortune shall attend him or her. Teach him and her justice, and he or she will be honored by the world. Teach him or her sincerity, and their own heart shall be not and his own heart shall not reproach him. Teach him diligence, and his wealth shall increase. Teach him benevolence, and his mind shall be exalted. Teach him science, and his life shall be useful. Teach him religion, and his death shall be happy.
Praise love.
So as we talk about, as Moorish American parents, and we see parenthood not as a individual or two people, we see parenthood as a organizational, as a temple as a collaboration of members in the temple. And while we are waiting, while we're waiting for our guests, we're also going to look at the importance of, look at some of the things that the prophet wanted us to teach our children. And one of the things we're going to look at is in the Moorish literature, the prophet gives some very specific instructions as to what we need to teach our children and how they should live. And in looking in the Moorish literature, we're going to look at Moorish leaders' historical methods to America. And in Moorish leaders' historical message to America, it says, in connection with the aims, objectives, rules, and regulations of the Moorish Science Temple of America, I deem it proper to submit to you a brief statement of our organization, covering its inception, rise, and progress of the Mohammedan religion, which I hope will be satisfactory to you and be the means of causing you at all times to adhere to the principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice in your relations with mankind in general. I furthermore most anxiously hope this brief statement will help you to more clearly see the duty and wisdom at of all times upholding those fundamental principles which are desired for our civilization of our posterity, such as obedience to law, respect, and loyalty to government, tolerance, and unity. We have five divine principles, which are love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. And in order to properly work these divine principles, one of the first things we can call the action of the love is obedience.
Absolutely.
To law.
That's right.
Would you agree?
I agree, totally.
Truth would develop respect.
I agree.
Loyalty to government would develop peace.
That's right.
Tolerance would develop freedom.
I agree.
Because one of the things we need to do as a people is become more tolerant.
I agree.
And Jesus does say that ignorance, intolerance, is ignorance matured.
Mm.
So we definitely don't want to go there. And lastly, with justice we will develop unity.
I agree.
As the prophet said, we what has to enforce
the law
in order to save
the nation.
Exactly. So those things do not change. So in moving right along, and as you read this, you'll also get to see the Moorish leaders' historical message gives us a wealth of information, a wealth of information. As a matter of fact, in this same document, the prophet talks about, this particular part of the message, I think, applies to all of us. It says our men, women, and children should be taught to believe in the capacity of our group to succeed in business in spite of trials and failures of some of them. Trials and failures in business are by no means confined to any particular group of people. We have many men and women among our people who are qualified both by training and experience, who are shining lights in the business world of all the people. It is a sad weakness in us as a people that we have withheld the very encouragement, support, and patronage that would have made some of our worthy business ventures a grand success. And worst of all, have joined in the condemnation of them when they fail. Except in cases of actual dishonesty, discourtesy, lack of service, and actual unreliability, Our business enterprises in every field of endeavor should have the fullest of confidence, cooperation, and patronage whenever and wherever they can be given. So the prophet does talk about economics. He talks about the importance of being in business.
Absolutely. And business is important, you know, because that is the basis of an economy. And once, you know, we start developing businesses and supporting those businesses, this puts, you know, monies back into the temples, if you will, and it establishes and builds our community. So I could see the importance of that. And you know how you go to some places, you know, frequently, sometimes in the summertime, you know, I happen to like spring rolls, which some people call them egg rolls, and I go to this little Asian place, and, you know, during the summertime, they had their children right there in their business running the cash register and, you know, just participating in the business in general. And that's very interesting. And, you know, this is what we need to do in regards to actually participating with, you know, our children and getting them to participate in our business endeavors so that we'll have something to leave for them.
Definitely. And that was the end of the paragraph. Let me read the beginning because a lot of Moses often quotes this. In connection with our religious aims and beliefs, we must promote economic security. The preaching of economic security among us is by no means as widespread and intensive as circumstances demand. No one thing is more needed among us at this time than greater economic power, better positions for our men and women, more business employment for our boys and girls, and bigger incomes will follow our economic security. We shall be secure in nothing until we have economic power. A beggar people cannot develop the highest in them, nor can they attain to a genuine enjoyment of the spiritualities of life. Because when you're hungry, it's kind of hard. You know, when you're hungry, it's kind of hard to focus. Would you agree?
I totally agree. The only thing that you're focusing on, if you're hungry, is, you know, where the next meal is going to come from, or, you know, how you're going to obtain some finance to purchase, you know, the food that you would be eating or what have you at that point in time.
Definitely. So as we move forward, it's just real. There are some other aspects in economics that we need to look at.
Absolutely.
And part of that is that as a people, we have yet to go through an actual emancipation process, and we'll keep saying that until it kind of actually registers.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if you say things long enough, somebody actually hears it. So in the actual emancipation process, we have to, as a people, we have to deal with some land. We have to deal with some finances. We have to do some things in order to make it to be independent.
Right, absolutely.
To be self-sufficient. Because it's just hard to be self-sufficient with nothing.
Absolutely.
It's hard to be self-sufficient if all you're looking at is a job.
Right.
Because a job basically helps you to survive. It does not help you get beyond or build your wealth, so to speak.
Absolutely. And, you know, wealth is something that should be passed on and you have what is called generational wealth. So, you know, we should pass wealth on to our children, you know, as far as, and wealth is not just stating money, but homes, land, and various other things. You know, if I would have had a jump start, you know, from my parents, as far as, you know, just even them giving me a or handing down a car, a family car to me while, you know, going to college, that would have even assisted me in my, you know, tools and whatnot. So, you know, as Moorish Americans, we have to look at this, you know, moving forward to have something for our children to be able to, you know, give them something so it can make life a little easier for them and they can, you know, be able to focus as opposed to going to school and working a job. You know, they'll be able to focus a little more on going to school and possibly if they have to, you know, work part-time, which wouldn't take as much energy and you know, brain power away from them if they had to work a full-time job and go to school full-time. Some people can do it, but it's just a little easier to do.
We definitely have some mothers who are doing that, working. I think we have one more working two jobs and going to school.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it can be done, but we want to do it in the most beneficial way as possible.
Absolutely.
And understand, by uplifting, by doing the prophet's work, we should be creating jobs.
Yeah.
We should be creating. It should be, there is, the prophet said there's enough work for all to do. It's in the same particular passage. It says, in conclusion, I urge you to remember there is work enough for all to do in helping to build a better world. The problems of life are largely social and economic.
Mm.
In a profound sense, they are moral and spiritual.
Mm.
Have lofty conceptions of your duties to your country and fellow men in general, and especially those with whom you deal. This includes such honesty and righteousness as will cause you to put yourself in the other fellow's place.
Wow. And when you hear that, you know, and you're talking about social, you know, there are so many social problems when you look at, you know, in our communities and you look at social problems and when people are constantly focused on social problems, you know, they're not able to move forward with, you know, being able to create economics and you know, being a student of social work. I had a very interesting time in one of my courses and I had the opportunity to study some human behavior. And one of the things was they had this pyramid called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing right in line with what we're speaking of, you know, at the bottom of that pyramid, a person can't move to the top of it unless they meet their physiological needs. And what the physiological needs are things such as breathing, you know, food, water, sleep, homeostasis, and somewhat of extracurricular activities. And, you know, if you're not handling or meeting those particular social problems, then basically what happens is you actually are not able to move to the next stages in that pyramid, and at the very top of the pyramid is self-actualization. So, you know, once you look at that and you are able to relate Maslow's, or if you will, if you're able to look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs and look at what the prophet is saying and match it up, you know, the prophet was way before time and right on time with what it is that, you know, we need to develop. And it's not strange that there's a five-stage model in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's similar to, you know, how you just define and outline those principles. Very interesting.
And this would definitely go along with that because we also use this in education.
Wow.
We have to study the same pyramid because in a classroom, a child has to have all of these things met. They have to feel, they have to be fit, they have to be physically healthy.
That's right.
They have to feel safe in the classroom.
That's right.
They have to be able to socialize.
That's right.
They have to develop a self-esteem.
Right.
and at the top, then they will become good students.
Right.
They will be able to function in the educational environment, because a lot of students miss maybe step one, two, and three, because they are totally social.
Right.
Absolutely. All they want to do is socialize, and they don't want to learn, and they will disrupt the learning environment for others. And if we take those same things and deal with our principles, and I'm going to love, I'll go from the top, self-actualization would be love,
mm-hmm.
esteem would be truth,
okay.
social would be peace,
mm-hmm.
safety would be freedom,
mm-hmm.
and physiological would be justice.
Mm.
So we can use the same pyramid to actually deal with how we need to exist in the educational, how we need to exist in the movement, how we need to exist outside the movement.
Absolutely.
All those basic needs are taught over and over and over again.
That's
so the
right.
prophet was way ahead of his time, because he had love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice back in 1913.
Absolutely.
So I guess he was way ahead of his time. That really solidifies the fact that he was divine.
Absolutely. And they had the nerve, or Maslow had the nerve, to create it in the shape of a pyramid, so, you know, which is one of our ancient symbols. And I believe that's one of the symbols on the charter, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Dollar bill.
And the dollar bill, okay.
So you can find the pyramid in a very place. Matter of fact, if you want to talk about the pyramid, in the physical sense, it sits right in the very center of all the land mass. From the pyramid, you can divide the land, not the water, the land, into four equal quarters.
That's
north,
right.
east, south, east, northwest, southwest. And for those who read chapter 47, for those who are members of the Moorish Science Temple, you should have studied chapter 47.
That's right.
Chapter 47 clearly defines that. So when you're defining the map according to chapter 47, you'll see that it does divide the land into four equal quarters. So I'm not sure what happened with our guest. Maybe she'll be, we might have to reschedule. Emergencies do happen.
Absolutely.
So if she's here, we'll tune in. But, you know, everything moves on. Life
Absolutely.
Goes on. So continuing in the same particular chapter, it says that look for the best in others and give them the best that is in you. Have a deeper appreciation for womanhood. Brighten the hopes of our youth in order that their courage be increased to dare and do wondrous things.
Praise love.
Adhere to all times to the principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice.
Hmm.
I am your affectionate leader. I shall continue to labor day and night, both in public and private, for your good, thereby contributing to the welfare of our country and its people as a whole.
Absolutely.
So the prophet didn't just work for the Moorish Science Temple.
That's right.
He worked for the nation.
That's right.
His goal is for us to do better in the nation. And some of us, because we've gotten so caught up in that hatred,
hmm.
and we talk so much slavery talk, because some of us just live in slavery. We can't even get out of slavery.
Right.
That's all we consume our minds with. So if you consume your mind with slavery all the time, how do you understand freedom?
Absolutely. You can't understand it, you know, because you're stuck and you're constantly blaming your condition on someone who definitely created the condition, or created those particular aspects of your condition. But we all know that, you know, the prophet, he states that if I can get you to think, you can save yourself. And if you think your condition can be better, then your condition will absolutely be better. You know, so, oh, and just to digress a little bit for those who may have been confused or would try to say that we are not, the pyramid that we were making reference to was the Great Pyramid of Giza. That is what separates the earth into four equal parts. So, you know, no, we just want everybody to be clear and know that we're not just, you know, here just talking out the side of our heads. We're confirming ourselves to the record. And that's what each That's what it says, that, you know, the teacher or teachers must confirm themselves to the record. And wasn't the prophet was professor, his, he had a title called Professor Drew, the Egyptian Adab, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow, interesting.
So as we read the prophet's teachings, we see he was looking way ahead. Matter of fact, I do, it's some more in here, so why don't we just use the Moorish leader's historical message as, mm-hmm. as the foundation of what we'll speak from today. It says, Muhammadism makes no distinction between high and low, rich and poor. It is like the sky. It has room for all. So it appears that our guest is here.
Yeah, let's see. Area code 443. Last four digits, 3715.
Islam.
Is this Princess Thames Bay?
Yes, I was trying to get through.
Oh, praise Allah. We're glad that you're here. And, you know, you're right on time, all is well. And we appreciate your time and your efforts because we know as a princess of the Moorish Science Temple of America, on your way to college, you've been very busy. And this is, even though this is your summer, you know, we know that you've been very busy. So we're glad that you're here with us. And we hope that, it wasn't a challenge for you to get on. And if you did have any difficulty, praise Allah. You know, there is no progress without any struggle. So how was your day today?
It was all right. I was rushing trying to get on here. I had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, wow. Well, sorry to hear that. And we're glad that you're okay and that you pushed through whatever it was that you had to push through to be on the show today. So are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I had to get something for my ear infection.
Okay, praise Allah. So could you enlighten us a little bit about how and what has the Moorish Science Temple of America done for you or changed your perspective? And, you could give us just a little bit of history of, like, how old were you when you came into the temple and, you know, just some things like that, if you will.
Islam, you can hear me?
Yes, mm-hmm. We can hear you.
We can hear you.
I came into Moorish Science Temple at the age of 8, and at first I was confused about some things until I started asking questions. And, of course, the temple helped me out with all the questions, and they got their ass in it. And then, like, at first I dug in with it, and then as I kept going, I kept getting better understanding. And, like since I was brought up in the Catholic Church and then me being a Christian going to church, you don't get to ask questions like that or get to talk to the ministers and pastors and stuff to, like, after the service and all that. So it was, like, a different experience that I got to interact with the ministers and the Moors that was, or the officials of the temple while I was there. You know, y'all didn't make me feel like I was less than or that y'all was above at the temple. So that was one thing I liked. And also, like, when I became Moorish American and then I keep studying being in my lessons, I also realized that y'all help people to see or Moors or anybody to see, like, stuff in a different way. Like, as far as, like, in the church compared to the church, not speaking radical or nothing, but, like, you would think everything that they say is literal. You understand? Like, but y'all break it down and try to, like, for a child or a baby to understand.
So, praise the Lord.
About understanding. And that's another thing I like about the temple, because when they say more stuff, like, it really is more sense because it really makes sense because if it is a question that I don't understand and y'all understand, y'all give me 7 days and y'all get back with my answer and stuff like that. Or y'all just know how to bring the truth out of things or help me so that I understand stuff that I was taught by other people. But, I mean, something has definitely been a blessing for real.
Okay. Sister Thanksday or Princess Thanksday. Can you talk about how the temple impacted your education?
Oh, yes, it will. It definitely impacted my education, as far as, especially like on the history side, if anything, history-wise, because like, I guess, like, assisting in sixth grade and then middle school and stuff, you kept talking about, like, the Indians and Columbus and all of that, but I already found out the truth of stuff down in Sunday school about Columbus and the people that was already here, Moses here before that and all of that. So, like, they, as far as, like, education-wise, hence the stuff, like, in history class, already me because I've been going to the temple, so it was a blessing to share certain things I learned in the temple to other people that didn't understand when we was in history class and stuff like that. Because, you know, they don't give us the whole truth at school. So, Islam.
Praise the Lord.
So what kind of activities did you participate in school? And tell us about what kind of grade point average you kept in school.
When I was a freshman, I first came in, I was new, so my GPA was, like, arranged from, I was on merit roll, which is lower than the high honor roll and honor roll, because I was just new, and I was just trying to find myself. So I had like, a 2.5, like, 2.8 and all of that. And then my 10th grade year, I started thinking about my education and stuff, so I got, like, a 3.5 up to, like, a 3.71, and the last quarter I got a 3.91. So I always was on the high honor roll all 4 years of my high school career. And as far as sports and activities, I was a chaplain on my school for all 4 years. The prayer and stuff for everybody. I was a chaplain in the office. And also, for sports wise, I was did track, tennis. I did track and tennis and volleyball.
Praise the Lord. And the temple didn't interfere with any of those things, did it?
What you say, Mo?
The temple didn't interfere with any of those things, did it?
No, it helped, if anything.
Praise the Lord.
And so you graduated with what a grade point average of?
Well, this my senior year, my final GPA was a 3.67. But I never ever done to me to, add all my GPAs for all 4 years and then divide it. I never got a chance to do that, see what it was my whole high school career.
But you learn to grow and build and get better. That's one of the lessons I see. And as being a member of the temple, did you feel like you were in a family, or did you feel like you were just in an organization? How did you feel about being in the temple?
Well, since the first day I walked in as a guest, like, I was iffy about it. Mother made me go. But since I came in there, I felt welcome. You know, everybody offered me sergeant of arms, fit the tail, helped me down the steps, answer my question. Everybody asked me, was I all right? Sisters, school, everybody loved and stuff. So I think I felt definitely the temple was definitely my family. Actually, I'm more closer to some people, like my more sisters and brothers than my actual family. So,
praise the Lord. And you're on your way. You're going to be a freshman in college, right?
Yes.
Have you decided what major you're going to be taking up? Anything at this point in time? Have you decided that? What's going to be your major?
Psychology and social work.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's a pretty good field. I just was talking about social work and, you know, and some of the things that I learned being a social worker. So, you know, we need, and you were actually already doing some social work because you acted as the chaplain at your school, which is a blessing. You know, there were a lot of people who were depending on you whenever they had problems or circumstances, and, you know, so you were already doing a form of social work. It looks like that we have a few callers. I'm not sure if they have questions for you or what have you, but we have a caller by the area code of 240, last four digits 3850. You're live on the Moorish Light. Islam? Area code 240, last four digits 3850. You're live on the Moorish Light. Okay, you could try back with the host in a few minutes. We have another caller. Area code 443-8928. You're live on the Moorish Light.
Islam, or I'd like to ask the sister, has she decided on the school that she wants to attend? And because a lot of times our sisters, our brighter minds, go to what I would call the established European schools as opposed to historically black colleges and universities. And we come from her when those schools was the cream of the crop of our community. Now they're stealing our cream. And I wonder if the sister had made any decision about which kind of school she was going to.
Yeah, I believe she has, but because we're live on the air, you know, we're not going to really disclose which school that she's going to go to, brother. We appreciate the question. I don't think she's going to be going to a historically so-called black college.
Right.
You know,
okay.
You know that there are no such, even though there are no such, title,
yeah.
But, I happened to go, I went to, what was called Sojourner Douglas College, which was a private college.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Basically I received my undergraduate degree from there, and I also received my graduate degree from that particular school. And believe it or not, I had the opportunity to work for a state of Maryland agency, and when I went there, I found out that I actually knew more than people who study social work at New York University and some other places. And it was surprising to know that they didn't even, you know some of the same things that that I knew. So, but we do appreciate that question.
The point is well
we
taken.
Do appreciate.
In reference to the misnomers of the name black and colored and so forth, however, when we look at the educational system, and I had an opportunity to graduate from Morgan State University.
Okay, praise the Lord.
And that allowed me a large opportunity to study some of the things. But one of the most profound things that I have learned that everywhere I go, regardless of that, is that the lessons that they teach Noble Drew Ali had brought to us all the way back in 1913. And now a lot of people, he has become a cash cow. Everybody is using his lessons to further themselves and act as if this is something that they came up with.
We agree with that, and we appreciate your question and your comments. We do have a few more callers. I'm not sure if they want to ask questions, but we ask you that you continue to stay on the line and continue to listen to the Moorish Light, and we do definitely appreciate your questions and your comments. Princess Thames Bay, do you have a response as far as you know, what you're studying and the school that you're going, not necessarily the name of the school, but, you know, what you view so far, because I think you visited there, what you view so far and what you get from it.
It's not an HBCU, but it's still a lot of AGAs that it's in.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. We have area code 443, last four digits 5081. You're now live on the Moorish Light.
Islam.
Praise the Lord.
Islam. I'd like to praise the Lord and thank the Lord and the Prophet's guidance for the young sister and her commission. And doing the prophets working out society, you know, because a lot of people misinterpret that Islamism is social work, and we should study the social curriculums of how we're going to relate the lessons to the correlation of the people are totally ignorant to what our faith and belief and standards is in the moral sign symbol of America worldwide.
Praise Allah. Yeah, and you know what, Brother Quarzel, it's very important because there are a lot of Moors who are on the Moor circuit. Who there's a statement that the prophet makes, and he says those who have gone to college are hoop jumpers and things of this nature, and they try to use that as an excuse of not to pursue higher forms of education. But, you know, you saying that is a blessing because anything that's dealing with the liberal arts came from the Moors. And so really when you go to any type of schooling and you graduate from that particular school, you are actually learning what our ancestors provided and taught the Europeans. And they, you know, like it was said earlier by an earlier caller, that really basically, you know, we're studying moral science anyway.
Exactly.
And Princess Thainsbay, would you like to comment on the comment that Brother Quarzel just made a statement about as far as, you know, the curriculum and everything and more science being social work?
Okay, you better explain, like, what you want me to elaborate on?
Oh, no, we were just asking if you had an elaboration on that. Not necessarily that you had to or what have you, but if you wanted to elaborate on it.
Thank them for making the comment.
Praise the Lord.
I was commending her on that duty of obligation in chapter 30 with social duties, you know. You know, more that a lot of times, man, people think that we just get stuck in areas of religious faith and stay correlated just between us as Moors, but not understand the gradual work that we do educationally, politically, religiously, nationally, friendship-wise, just being humans on a spiritual journey on this planet, things made manifest through the prophet's work. And like it says, more that in order to love anyone else, we got to first love ourselves. So the word education from out of Egypt came with having a concern about loving thyself first.
So praise Allah.
I just wanted to commend the sister on that.
Yeah, and we thank you. We definitely thank you.
Islam, all. I'd like to say praise Allah, and honor to the prophets and all those who follow the prophets' lessons, yet unborn and still to come, and the future generations that actually haven't even been exerted yet. So by Allah's grace, may all of us have the prophets' will and understand the labor day and night, as the sister said. Islam, peace.
Islamism.
Peace.
And I was just, when I talked about, you know, that particular statement as far as what the, you know, prophet said and how some Moors get misconstrued, I was not making reference to the statement of Brother Quarzel, but, you know, just trying to add on to the conversation, basically. You know, we definitely appreciate the brother for calling in and, you know, your statements and all. Praise Allah.
Okay. Before we go to the next caller, Sister Thainsbay. You're with the other young sisters, the other young Moors. How do you perceive them as a member of the temple? How do you perceive the other young Moorish Americans in the temple?
Like, as far as what, like.
As far as, do you see them as family? Are you all together? Do you do things together? Are you, you know, how do you all relate?
I mean, Islam, the twins to me is like my cousins. They hang with me all the time. We always in contact in and out the temple. And like, if I don't see them in the temple, or they don't see me in the temple, they'll call me and be like, why are you going to come to the temple and check on me? You know, that's the type. Like, if we see each other in the temple, we not there, we worrying about each other, we're trying to figure out why we not there and stuff like that. But we are great, boy.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. We adults need to take a lesson in that one.
Absolutely.
So let's go to our next caller.
Next caller, area code 443-5857 is the last four digits. You're live on the Moorish Light.
Islamism.
Islam.
Well, praise the Lord, honor to the Prophet, honor to honor's due. This is Sheikh Sproul Hill, Islam.
Islam.
I'd like to give honor, particular honor to Princess James Bay for being such a shining example for our particular youth. For it shows that if the temple, more scientific America, get our youth early before the street does, it can show you what possible results of it. So my question is to Princess Things Bailey is to her is, what can the princes and princesses in the more scientific America do to bring more of our unconscious youth into the more scientific America?
Islam. That's for example. I can honestly say, like, if more see us in the neighborhood, I mean, Asiatics, unconscious Asiatics see us in the neighborhood, cause to keep coming and coming. Even probably the visitors that stop in, if they see, like, sometimes it be more children in the temple than adults, you know, cause to be coming. So that might be motivation, like, if children can be outside on Friday nights running around and stuff like that, and they see us come going to our service, trying to make our meeting, our holy night meetings, there'd be motivation for them to come stop by and see what's in the building that keep us from coming in there every Friday and Sunday as well.
Praise Allah. Thank you for your answer, and continue your endeavors in life. Peace.
Islam. Praise Allah. Ah. That was an excellent question and definitely an excellent answer. Praise Allah. You know, and it's a blessing, you know, because a lot of times, and especially in studying or being a student of also public administration, anytime that you want to find out about how an organization works, you must start from the bottom to the people who are doing the work. And at this point in time, you know, Princess Things Bay, not that, you know, the adults and the sheiks and sheikesses and the ministers are not doing the work, but you are, so to speak, on the front lines because the Prophet came for the young and unborn. And at this point, you know, I was one of those individuals, but definitely you definitely were one of those or are one of those individuals. And it's a blessing, you know, to have your input and, you know, and get your input and know that it will be heard and utilized.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Islamism.
And also as a daughter in the Moorish science, how is it being the daughter of a mother in Moorish science temple? You still here?
What did you say?
How does it feel being the daughter of a mother in the Moorish science temple?
I mean, it feels good, I guess. If you talking about as far as like my mother or just being a daughter in the temple.
So you feel like you have many mothers then?
Yeah, Mother Betty, got plenty of aunts. You know, I mean, first of all, I am the temple child, so I feel like a lot of love, you know, from everybody, especially as far as the sisterhood there. I mean, I'm never worried, and if my mother can help me with something, I can come to another sister and ask. So we have that type of understanding or the connection with other sisters that I can go up to them if I have a misunderstanding or if I need help with anything.
That is fantastic. And I'm just going to quote your mother on some things, how well you cook.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that means that that we're coming to your house when it's time to break fast. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
How well you cook? How well, even when she's sick, you took care of your mom, right?
Yeah. All the time.
Praise the Lord. So that's a sign of independence.
So that shows you are definitely leading into womanhood and that you're going, you just, you know, life is not going to kick you down because you're going to be able to face any adversity that comes in your way because you are a strong young sister.
Praise God.
We would like to thank you because I do have the utmost respect for you. I love to hear her speak on Friday.
Praise God.
She makes some very valid points. Make you go, oh, make you think. And that's a wonderful thing. It is, and it's nice to be humble to a sister. And I just want to read what I think is a description of you.
Okay.
Please, listeners, bear with us. We're just trying to find a page.
Okay. So normally I'm like right on top of things. Oh, here it is. I found it. Okay, and this is how I perceive you in the present and in the future. So it's not just about today. It says, give ear, fair daughter of love, to the instructions of prudence, and let the precepts of truth sink deep in thy heart. So shall the charms of thy mind add luster to the elegance of thy form, and thy beauty, like the rose it resembleth, shall retain its sweetness when its blooms is withered. In the spring of thy youth, in the morning of thy days, when the eyes of men gaze on thee with thy delight, and nature whispereth in thine ear the meaning of their looks, all hear with caution their seducing words, and guard well thy heart, nor listen to their soft persuasions. Remember thou art man's reasonable companion, and not the slave of his passion. The end of thy being is not merely to gratify his loose desires, but to assist him in the toils of life, to soothe his heart with thy tenderness and recompense his care with soft endearment. Who is she that winneth the heart of the man, that subdueth him to love and reigneth in his breast? Lo, yonder she walketh in maiden sweetness, with innocence in her mind and modesty on her cheek. Her hand seeketh employment. Her foot delighteth not in gadding abroad. She is clothed with neatness. She is fed with temperance. Humility and meekness are a crown of glory circling her head. On her tongue dwelleth music. The sweetness of honey floweth from her lips. Decency is in all her words, and in her answers are mildness and truth. Submission and obedience are the lessons of her life, and peace and happiness are her reward. Before her steps walk prudence and virtue attendeth at her right hand. Her eyes speaketh softness and love, but discretion with the scepter sitteth on her brow. The tongue of the licentious is dumb in her presence, and the awe of her virtue keepeth him silent. So I like to dedicate that to you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lorraine.
You're welcome. And I see we see a bright future for you. You're going to come back here and help us, elders.
And I'm never going to be an elder. Sorry, no, I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank you, Princess Thames Bay, you know, for calling in. We thank you, you know, for your time, because you could have been doing something else or been somewhere else. But we really thank you. We hope that some of your peers were listening, and hopefully we'll have, you know, be able to, you know, hopefully you can encourage more of your peers to listen, and hopefully we'll be able to interview them, because I can truly say that all of you guys are very outstanding. And, you know, you being the temple child, you set the precedent for all of the youth that come, you know, that are to come up with you and that will come behind you. So, you know, just keep doing the work that you've been doing, and, you know, stay positive, and, you know, and you'll always have, you know, the temple support among, you know, other support as well.
Right.
All right. So we just we have about 5 more minutes left to the show, and we just would like for you to keep listening. Do you have anything else that you want to say or share with us and the listeners?
Yeah, I'm very happy, you know. Like, I know that this is going to be a good journey and stuff, and I know that I'm going to keep and take the lessons I learned ever since I've been in the temple with me. I'd like to thank all the Moors, me and Falkers. Like, I have, like, they stay in touch, you know, from New York and from Philly, from everywhere, you know, to help me out. So I'm just saying, this is a strong movement. There ain't nothing sick in about the Moors or something. It's real love.
Praise Allah. Well, you know, if you ever see Uncle Melvin on your campus, then you know I'm just there. I'm coming to check on you. So please forgive me if I turn into a spy of the Moorish Science Temple of America, okay? Praise Allah. We love you, and, you know, keep listening. We're gonna mute you now, and basically we're going to, you know, finish out the last 3 minutes or so of our show.
And we'll have you back after you go to...
Yeah, praise Allah, because we would like to continue to follow your story, you know, because you are a great inspiration to others,
right.
You know, elders and, you know, mid-elders and younger, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And praise Allah. So stay on the line. We're just going to mute you, and we're going to continue with the show. Islam.
So I was looking for something that said something about the prophet, so I decided to write a little point. And it says, "Suffer, little children, come unto me. Learn of your forefathers, your nationality. Learn of your unlimited capacity to succeed. Learn you are not Negro, colored, or black. Ethiopia is a demarcation line between father and son. Let us not forget what Abe Lincoln has done. Compensation, colonization, naturalization is the goal. Only through love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice can we obtain that mission. Learn to love instead of hate. Don't join the path of self-destruction. Rise up, build up. These are my instructions. Never leaving you, I'm always there. Show the world your greatness. History has already declared. Reclaim your own under your Moorish American flag."
Praise Allah. That's a beautiful poem. You know, Moors, this is just to, you know, let the listeners know and the public know. And, you know, basically the Moorish Science Temple of America has people from all walks of life. And, you know, we are about uplifting fallen humanity, teaching those things that are necessary for our people to become better citizens. That was the mission of the prophet, and to practice at all times the principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice at all costs.
We know you've learned something. Please develop your questions. Study. Join us next week. Write themoorishlight at gmail.com. Thanking Allah for the blessings and the ability to shine
the Moorish light. Thank you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.